And later on in the program, we will be speaking of the arts. I would like now to welcome back to the program for the, what, fifth year, seventh year?
Eighth year?
I don't know. We don't even know. We have to look at our archives. Linda Siegel, she is with us during every legislative session, giving us a legislative update. And this session, because it's a 30-day session.
60.
I mean, a 60-day session. We're going to be doing it on Fridays from 8:05 to 8:30. Welcome.
Great. Thank you, Mary Charlotte. It's so great to be here. I love doing these shows and helping our listeners know what's going on.
It's true. Diane Karp is on deck and speaking of the arts, and she just said, "Oh, Linda, I'm so glad you're back. You help us make sense of everything."
Even the nonsensical.
Even the nonsensical. Well, there's always a logic to irrationality.
Indeed.
So you are a lobbyist for health care and social services in that whole domain of things in general, and you have been doing the legislative shuffle for a long time.
Yes, I started doing it for my own company in 1992, and before that, when I ran health and social service agencies, that's where I taught myself how to lobby.
Oh, okay. So right now, I mean, it's the beginning of the session, the 60-day session. 60-day sessions are famous for, or their purpose is not only to pass the budget and come up with a budget, but to actually introduce and pass legislation. But as we have discovered through many years of observing, nothing really happens at the beginning.
Right. The first week is always really slow. And this time it's been even slower because, remember, we are coming into a legislative session, 112 legislators, 42 senators, 70 House members. 35 of them are new to their chamber. Two are House members who went to the Senate, and the other 33 have never been in the legislature.
Ah, so they're learning their job.
Yes, that is the biggest number that I can remember. And
what's up with
30
that?
Years. Well, a lot of people retired. Some people just didn't want to run again, and new people came in. There were a few actual losses, the high profile losses, like Tim Jennings from Roswell, who had been the pro tem of the Senate. He lost his race. Mary Jane Garcia, who was the whip in the Senate for the Democrats, she lost her race. But most of them were really people who retired, and new people came in. And one of the really exciting things is that in the House of Representatives, there are a large number of new women, fairly progressive women.
Very interesting.
Who won their races. So the tenor of the place is going to be very different with all this new energy and enthusiasm, but a lot of people, they don't know the process, and you can't learn the process in a one-day training, which is what they have. So they're going to be learning on the job. And
they should listen to KSFR on Fridays.
That's right.
new legislators out there.
Yeah.
Turn this station on if it's not already on. All right. So what is happening so far? I mean, there were elections for leadership, so they elect their own leaders. How does that work?
Well, how it works is in both the House and the Senate, they elect the Speaker of the House, and everybody votes for the Speaker of the House, the Republicans and the Democrats.
Okay.
And Ken Martinez from Grant won that office, and he'd been campaigning for it for many years, so that was no surprise. And I think the Democratic caucus is very happy with that. Then each of the caucuses, the Democratic caucus, the Republican caucus, they elect their leadership beyond the Speaker. So the House Majority Leader, who is now Rick Mieta from Albuquerque, who used to be the chair for many, many years of House Education.
Oh, okay.
And then the whip and the caucus chair. And then the Republicans also elect their minority floor leader, who this time is Don Bratton from, I think he's from Hobbs, out there in the southern part of the state.
Okay.
And the Republicans have their caucus chair and their whip. And the same thing in the Senate. The whole Senate elects the president pro tem, and then each of the caucuses elect their majority leader and their minority leader. Michael Sanchez is still the majority leader and for the Democrats, for all of them, but the Democratic Majority Leader. And Stuart Ingle from Roswell is the Minority Leader in the Senate. And, of course, Mary Kay Papin is the President Pro Tem. And that, despite the fact that everybody voted for her by acclamation, there was a division in the Democratic caucus because the caucus had selected Pete Campos to be the pro tem. But then Senator Papin went and got a handful of Democrat votes and all the Republicans, so she was going to win anyway. So to kind of save face, the Democrats all voted for her.
Oh, okay. Now, what do the caucuses do? What's a caucus?
Okay, a caucus is the political party, each of the political parties. And they determine their agendas for the legislative session. When there are controversial votes, they go off and meet by themselves. The Republicans meet by themselves, Democrats meet by themselves, and they decide what are we going to do? What are the bills that we really want to see pass out of this session? What are the bills we want to kill? And how are we going to do that? So during the last few weeks of a legislative session, there are lots of cocci.
Right.
And where they're all strategizing what to do, what are the bills now that are getting close that we really want to make sure pass and those that we want to make sure die.
Now, have we ever seen Democratic caucuses, for example, in New Mexico strategizing before the session starts?
Well, theoretically. Yes, they do meet. They mostly talk about leadership issues before the session starts. So the real strategy as it is happens during the session.
So what can we look forward to in this session? Let me guess. The governor's going to try to get the driver's licenses for immigrants repealed.
Yes.
What else?
Third grade retention.
If you can't read, you shouldn't go into fourth grade.
Right. And I believe no one disagrees that if you can't read, you really need help. But there is a political difference between the two parties in that area.
What,
obviously.
The Democrats think you should teach them to read in the first grade?
Well, you know, we haven't been doing such a great job of it. So,
I know.
And the Democrats have been in power for a long time. Let's see, what other are the hot issues? Of course, the governor has announced she wants to lower the corporate tax rate from the 7-ish category down to 4.9.
Now, is that gross receipts tax or is that something else?
No, that is the corporate income tax.
Oh, okay.
And let's see, what are the other hot button issues? There's economic development. Democrats are talking about we've got to do economic development. Governor's talking about it too. Her idea is tax cuts. The Democrats would be more focused on different areas to support.
What, you mean job creation?
Job creation, yes. Right. Supporting job creation.
Do they ever bring data to the table? Like, here's what has happened in the past when one has done tax cuts. Here's what's happened in the past when one creates jobs.
Well, they do talk about that, and those come out in what are called FIRs. Whenever a bill is introduced, everybody analyzes that bill. The Tax and Revenue Department analyzes, the Legislative Council, Legislative Finance Committee analyzes it, and then the appropriate departments. If it's a health bill, the Department of Health is going to analyze it. And in those FIRs, that's where it comes out about here's what's happened in the past, here's what this resulted in, what this bill could do, or maybe it won't do. They're supposed to be very neutral, factually based presentations so that legislators can look at those and go, this is a good idea, or, oh, there's something wrong here, we shouldn't do that.
Right.
But then there are also special presentations during the legislative session and in the interim committees. Lots of presentations before the Legislative Finance Committee, before the session ever starts, from like BBER, which is the UNM entity that analyzes business issues and economic issues. Presentations that, like, there are presentations, there's going to be a presentation on the 24th about the Accountable Care Act, the the bill that our federal new health reform is what impact that's having in the states.
And what impact that has, for example, setting up what are called exchanges that people can, through which people can buy health insurance.
Yes, that's correct. And we are setting up an exchange in New Mexico.
Yes.
The governor has already stated who that's going to be, and they've been working on it for well over a year.
Very interesting and very important. Now, there is a bill, very important bill, that would prohibit breed-specific legislation.
That would what?
Prohibit breed-specific legislation for dogs, meaning you can't ban pit bulls.
Yes, yes. Well, over almost 300 bills have been introduced already, and this is only the first week, and they spend a lot of time electing leadership, so that's a pretty good number, and we can expect about 2,000. So, yes, I don't know what will happen with that bill, but we will see.
Sorry, anything having to do with dogs, and I would like to say that I was very happy when the governor signed a bill that allowed dogs on restaurant patios.
Yes, that was
Senator, last year or the year before?
I think it was 2011, Senator Peter Wirth's
yes.
patio dog bill.
Yep. So enough about the dogs. What other legislation are you keeping an eye on?
Well, I'll be watching and pushing a number of health care bills. Well, certainly for my clients, which are nurses and occupational therapists and chiropractors and dietitians, we'll be watching the health insurance reform bills because those are very important to patients having access to health care. And everyone is concerned about how are we going to let the public know that now they can get insurance. And, of course, we know that the
right.
governor agreed to expand Medicaid, at least 170,000 eligible people for Medicaid out there that will add to our 450,000 already on Medicaid, or maybe it's 500,000, whole lot of people on Medicaid in New Mexico. How are we going to let them know? How are they going to find out? These
right.
are adults who have never been eligible for Medicaid before. And suddenly they'll be eligible. Well, if you don't read the newspaper, if you don't listen to the radio, how are you going to know?
Right.
How are you going to know there's a health insurance exchange out there? So that's going to be an issue of great importance to providers and the consumer advocacy groups that want to see that, okay, now we've got access to a payer source for people. How are they going to know about it? And then you have the whole other issue of workforce, healthcare workforce. Because, okay, now there's somebody to pay for it, but where are the providers?
What do you mean?
Well, if suddenly another 170,000 people are eligible for Medicaid, 120,000 are eligible for the health insurance exchange, and we already have a primary care provider shortage, we don't have enough nurses. We don't have enough primary care providers. We don't have enough specialists.
Okay.
We don't have enough occupational therapists, physical therapists. We don't have enough of any providers.
Amazing. So now you're going to be eligible to have your disease treated, but there won't be a doctor or nurse to do it.
Right. Where are you going to go to find those providers?
Welcome to New Mexico, ladies and gentlemen. What are we going to import people?
Well, we're going to have to educate more people on our own colleges and universities. And, yes, we're always recruiting people from out of state for healthcare jobs. But then everybody is.
Right. So you have to really talk about the land of enchantment.
Yeah. You have to sell them on something.
Yeah. I wonder if they could make healthcare incentives the way they've made film industry incentives. To be continued.
All right. And, of course, education. There are going to be a lot of education bills. Because
yes.
it's not just about retaining third graders. There are pre-K issues, the expansion of pre-K. We know that early childhood services can really help children succeed.
Have we correlated that with their ability to read by the third grade?
Oh, yes. I mean, there are studies that show that if you're getting early childhood education, your chances of being more prepared first and second grade are better, and that your reading skills, all of your skills are better.
And so bills, and the thing about all of this is, can bills fix the problem? What is your experience in this where education is concerned?
Well, certain policies and approaches can help fix problems. If you're investing in early childhood education and the data is showing that it helps people succeed, it helps people be more successful in their early education years, then it can have an impact. The issues that we have are always related to money. We don't have enough money to fund universal pre-K services. The issue of at the higher levels of education, the dual credits, where if you're a junior or senior in high school and you can be taking college courses at the community college, we offer a number of dual credit courses. So we know that the data shows that a person who's in a dual credit course and already in high school getting credit for college so that they can just flow right into the community college or another college or university, that their success rate is higher. So we've got the information, we've got the data that on both ends these kinds of things work, but do we have the money to make sure they happen?
Right. Well, maybe we should cut taxes and then we'll have more money.
Oh, yes. Well, how about Peter Wirth's bill, which he's been working on for many years, to equalize the corporate income tax between out-of-state corporations and local corporations?
Is he going to introduce that again this year?
Yes. Yes,
okay.
He is.
Yeah, that was crazy. If you're a New Mexico corporation, you pay a higher corporate tax rate than if you are Target, Walmart, or any other... Exxon, whatever.
And he's been introducing that bill for 6 or 7 years.
Why doesn't that pass?
Well, because Walmart and Target don't want to pay more taxes.
Oh, and so their lobbyists are more effective than the New Mexico corporations?
Evidently. We don't have it, do we?
We don't have it, ladies and gentlemen. All right, so we are going to see you every Friday between now and... The 15th of
right,
March.
Right, yes. And then we'll do a wrap-up, probably.
And then we'll do a wrap-up. Now, are there any... We've talked in the past about terminology. Like, one that comes to mind is when you say a bill has been dropped, that actually means it's been introduced.
That's right, yes.
Any other terms that people should
well,
know?
Well, there are bills that are tabled,
right,
which means that they're really dead because people didn't want to vote on them for a do not pass or do pass, so they just table them and they stay where they are.
And it's very hard once you're on the table to get back into process.
Yes,
it's happened, but very rarely.
Yes, yes. Oh, let's see, what other... There's a whole lingo to... the legislature. Now, for people to find out more about what's going on in the legislature, they can just go on the legislative website.
Their excellent website.
Excellent. Just Google New Mexico legislature and it'll just send you right in there. And then you can see all those terms in the daily bill locator that are attached to each bill. And you'll go, well, what does this mean? Where is this bill? But the locator tells you the bill name and the bill number and what committee the bill's in. So you can actually follow that and you can look up, if you've got a bill you want to follow, you can look it up and see when it's going to be heard and which committee and where that committee is, what room number it is, what time,
and
theoretically.
And you can show up.
And you can actually go and testify. And we can talk more about that as we go on.
Well, I think it's important that people know that this is their legislature.
Yes.
It's a citizen legislature. Composed of citizens who are doing other jobs for the whole rest of the year, and it is a citizen legislature in the sense that citizens can simply show up.
And absolutely, and we don't even pay these people to be legislators. They come here for free. It's a volunteer citizen legislature.
Linda Siegel is with us for the legislative update every Friday between now and the 15th of March, including the 15th of March, which is just about the end of the session. And ladies and gentlemen, you can expect to see some slowness and then some rapid acceleration as we get into March and all this stuff goes wild. Linda Siegel, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
And I'm very happy now to welcome back to the program Alina Scheim. She is Director of Impact Personal Safety and is here to just to tell us quickly about what's going on at Impact. Welcome.
Thank you. We have a couple of classes coming up that we're very excited to provide. We have a children's class on February 23rd and 24th at 6 hours. And that class teaches everything a child should need to know, 6 to 12, ages 6 to 12.
Everything a child should need to know about defending him or herself.
Exactly. And also about, you know, a lot of people have questions after Sandy Hook. A lot of children are asking their parents very frightening and very hard to answer questions. Yeah. And one thing that parents can provide them is a sense of safety. Maybe not literally about a shooter, but a sense that a child can do something about his or her safety.
Now, have you been talking with little kids after Sandy Hook yourself?
Mm-hmm. We have been talking with some people. Obviously, a lot of radio shows and a lot of other media are doing some great stories with both children and parents. And, you know, I think one of the biggest pieces for children and for parents is to realize that, you know, just like you can't learn how to run before you learn how to walk, the same thing is true. You cannot learn how to address a shooter before you can even learn how to say no.
Right.
Right? You have to be able to do those beginning steps. Children have to learn that their bodies belong to them and that they have a right and how to protect it before they can even begin thinking of these bigger issues that unfortunately they're needing to think about.
Yeah. Now, that's one of the classes you have coming up. Is mm-hmm. there another one also?
There is. There's a class for adults, which actually is a great class for parents as well. It's a 4-hour introductory workshop on March 3rd, and that's noon to 4.
And so if you are considering learning self-defense or if you are considering getting your children into self-defense, people can show up for that mm-hmm. and learn what Impact Personal Safety is all about.
Yes, they can register online or they can give us a call to do that.
And what's the number?
It's 992-8833.
992-8833, and the website
is www.impactpersonalsafety.org.
Impactpersonalsafety.org. Alina Scheim, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
Diane Karp is on deck. We'll be right back. And I'd like now to welcome Diane Karp. She's Executive Director of the Santa Fe Art Institute. She's with us here just about every other Friday, speaking of the arts. Welcome.
Me and Tom DeWalt, we were separated at birth.
Rob DeWalt and you were separated at birth.
We were separated at birth.
Yeah, exactly. That does explain the resemblance.
Yes, yes. People confuse me for Rob DeWalt all the time.
Right.
So there are amazing things going on this week in Santa Fe, and a lot of it is going on downtown. There's the Museum of Contemporary Native Arts, which is one of those museums that is transforming itself and transforming Santa Fe and the discourse around contemporary art.
Nice.
As we breathe. And the shout out for them is about the fact that they've got a new concept for the ways in which they're putting together these exhibitions. Rather than the curators, Nancy Maitlow and Ryan Rice, sort of going to the supermarket and picking out what they want, they've been working with the artists that are parts of the exhibitions that are opening tonight with a beautiful panel discussion tomorrow. And the exhibitions, there are 4 artists involved in an exhibition called Thicker Than Water, The Personal Archive, Memory and Imagination in Contemporary Art. 2 of the artists are American, 1 of them is Canadian, 1 of them is Australian. And the 4 of them have put together an exhibition that really deals with the concept of blood quantum and the ways in which the governments define
right.
who is and who isn't an Indian. So what they did was they invited 4 basically photo and mixed media based artists, Greg Statz, Anna Sularakis, Tom Jones, and Brenda Croft, to address the complexities of family, biography, and race that intersect through the concepts of blood and memory. The exhibitions are beautiful. They are absolutely stunning. They open this evening at 5 o'clock, and tomorrow from 2 to 4, there's a symposium called The Personal Archive, Memory and Imagination in Contemporary Art. And it deals with portraiture, family photo albums, archives that create the space to explore the issues of race and family. But more than that, not so much just that personal engagement, it's really about community and how the community defines itself and how they define who can and can't belong in the community.
So this is an opening tonight?
Yes.
At 5?
5 o'clock at the Museum of Contemporary Native Arts, which is the building, that beautiful building that used to be the post office and the FBI.
It was?
Oh, yeah. It was a post office, and then it was the FBI, and it faces the Grand Cathedral.
It faces the cathedral.
Yes, indeed. So you've got Tom Jones, who is Ho-Chunk, and Brenda Croft, who is Australian First Peoples. Anna Sutlorakis is a combination of Navajo, Creek, and Greek, and she grew up. Creek and Greek, yeah. A lot of these guys are of mixed blood. And Anna grew up and was educated here in New Mexico. And Greg Statz, who is Mohawk, he's Canadian. It's so funny when they say Mohawk and Canadian. Mohawk really define themselves as an independent people,
right?
Between the U.S. and Canada, and the
we learned about Mohawk and Iroquois Indians in general in New York State history when I lived in New York State in the 8th grade.
Exactly, like they all belong to New York, but the Mohawk Nation is up on the boundaries, and so they cross both Canada and U.S. There are two other exhibitions that are going to open at the Museum of Contemporary Native Art. One is the work of Jason Lujan. It's called Summer Burial. And that's an interesting sort of Native American allegory on traditional American realities. And the other is a young man named Nathan Pohio, who is Maori. And it's the first exhibition of Maori work that they have had at the Museum of Contemporary Native Art. Nathan is a phenomenal historian of cinema, a photographer, and he's opening an exhibition that he started during a residency at the Santa Fe Art Institute last year. So come on out to the Museum of Contemporary Native Art.
To your own museums, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, take advantage of it. The other little tiny exhibition there is by Tyree Honga. It's called Images of Life, and Tyree is a Hualapi and Paut artist, and he's a quadriplegic.
Wow.
And so he creates his work holding a Bic in his mouth.
Good heavens.
Because it's the only thing that he can move. Amazing exhibitions, and go to the opening and then go to the panel discussion and symposium tomorrow at 2.
Now, tonight at 5 o'clock at the Collected Works Bookstore are the winning photographs from the Cimarron Sky Dog Reserve Equine Photography Contest. And every year, I mean, these are pictures of horses, and every year the judges say, oh no, how can we possibly pick among these because they're so good. So a lot of good photography is there. And Mar Legrand's 30-minute film, Wild Horses in Winds of Change, and also Jackie Fleming, who's the proprietor of she's the founder of the Wild Horse Sanctuary in Watrous, has another 12-minute film about wild Mustangs.
And yes, I heard her talk on the radio with you. That
was
fascinating.
Yeah, we were talking yesterday. Yeah.
That was absolutely fascinating.
Wonderful people, a very important issue. And so all that is today at Collected Works Bookstore.
And the photographs are going to be up for a while.
Yeah,
and
they'll be up through March, I think.
I think so. And a portion of the sale of those photographs will go to the Wild Horse Sanctuary. So
yeah, this is their big fun drive
yes.
of the year. And
exactly.
There will be wonderful photographers there and Tony Stromberg doing a book signing and Lynn Pomerantz. So good evening. And
good evening.
And then tomorrow at 9:30, opera breakfast lecture on Donizetti's Maria Stuarda,
yes.
Mary Stuart, given by John Weber, who recently lectured on Verdi's Ballo in Maschera. And that's tomorrow at Collected Works Bookstore. And then on Thursday, Ray Marie Taylor, The Land, Our Gift, and Wild Hope. And
yep.
Jack Leffler and Kais Bello will also be speaking at 6 o'clock on Thursday. And I think we're going to have them on the air.
It's a book signing, and it's also going to be a panel discussion. So it should be a really, really interesting opportunity to hear people talk about an important subject.
And don't forget Children's Storytime every Wednesday and Thursday at 10:45, Eclected Works and Live Music with Lorianne Fiorentino.
The children's section, because I'm a grandma, the children's section at Collected Works has just been expanding apace. They have a curator who is really responsible for it, and every time I bring a book to one of my grandchildren, they go crazy. So check out the expanded children's section.
And Lori Fiorentino will be with guests all through January on Sunday afternoons from 3 to 5.
Another thing that's going on tonight is the New Mexico Museum of Art is opening its new alcove show, which is quite wonderful. It's 5 artists up for 5 weeks, and a shout out there to Mary Scully, who has done a phenomenal job bringing really interesting artists into the alcoves. One of my favorites is Susanna Carlisle and Bruce Hamilton, who are working with projected video and handmade glass objects. Should be a beautiful, beautiful installation.
They're very good.
Yeah. The other thing that's going on is at the New Mexico Museum of Art is they're opening their Friends of Contemporary Art Photography Biennial. It's a juried show of work that includes New Mexico artists. It was juried by Toby Camps, who is the director of the Menil in Houston. And on Saturday, you can go to hear Toby Camps talk about his exhibition. Actually, you start with John Weber talking about Maria Stuarda at Collected Works at 9:30, and then you move on to the Toby Camp discussion and talk about the exhibition at the New Mexico Museum of Art, and that's at 1, and then at 2 o'clock you go on to the exhibit symposium at the Museum of Contemporary Native Art, and then in the evening you can go to the Great Hall at Peterson, of the Peterson Student Center at St. John's, and hear Julian Waterfall Pollock, an amazing jazz pianist. So I've now got your schedule
set. Yeah, you've scheduled everybody's day.
In between, you can get yourself to the Lenzic to hear opera in high definition. There's a lot going on.
And let's see, tonight you can also go to Barrymore, a film starring Christopher Plummer, and he is filmed from his acclaimed performance on Broadway. It's a one-man play. Actually, there was a version of it at the Santa Fe Playhouse several years ago.
Really?
Yeah. And but
Christopher Plummer is, first of all, it's a brilliant performance, and it's like the performance of his life. But John Barrymore, you know, most people forget this amazing American actor. He was defined as being one of the greatest Shakespearean actors of all time. And Orson Welles said he did the best Hamlet that has ever been presented in the 20th and 21st century. So,
well, it's tonight at 7 at the Lenzic.
Yes,
downtown,
indeed.
In Santa Fe.
Yes,
and
indeed.
Can I talk about the cat of the week?
Kitty.
Cat of the week. Where'd it go?
He's under the table.
You
wait,
like
I'll
Robert
get him.
Rat. There it is.
There you are.
This week's featured cat available for adoption is Marnie. Marnie is a very calm, watchful, quiet, and affectionate cat and has a beautiful, soft gray and white coat. She is adventurous, likes to climb, and will find her way to the top of curtain rails, the fridge, and inside any open cupboard.
Keep your doors closed,
opening
folks.
The cans of tuna fish
yes.
herself. If you're interested in adopting her, call 505-316-2281. You can email askfelinesandfriends@yahoo.com, and you can see them online and other cats as well at fandfnm.org.
Another thing that is happening this weekend is the 27th annual Santa Fe Robert Burns Night, which is an evening of Irish. It's Celtic dancing and Celtic dancing. The Celtics are a basketball team. I have to remind myself of that. And poetry reading of Robert Burns' poetry. And it's a fundraiser for the Scottish Rite Center. So if you're in the mood for some Irish tonight, check it out. It starts at 5 o'clock.
And the Plein Air and More exhibition is opening tonight and running from tomorrow through February 16th. at the La Tienda exhibit space in El Dorado. So yeah. Eight artists who've been painting at sites all over Santa Fe together for 8 years. The opening is tonight from 5 to 7. It's at, let's see, I-25 North Exit 250. It's the El Dorado Shopping Center there.
Yeah.
For more information, 466-4211.
Sunday morning, 11 a.m. at the Santa Fe University of Art and Design's Brilliant Screen, one of the nicest places to watch films.
Yes, it is.
They've got really comfy seats. And it's beautiful, beautiful definition, is continuing their opera in high def. This is the A Marriage of Figaro, Mozart's opera, coming live from London's Royal Opera House, 11 a.m. on Sunday morning. And then at 3, if that isn't enough culture for you, Serenata of Santa Fe is presenting the harpsichord, and it's Kathleen McIntosh, who is one of the great harpsichordists, who is going to be working with a chamber music ensemble. And that's over there at the Scottish Rite Center.
Most excellent. Now, the Dragonfly School is having an open house tomorrow, January 19th, from 10 to noon. You can experience hands-on activities with your kids in classrooms and with their terrific staff. It's a wonderful place, actually, the Dragonfly
School.
What
grades do they cover?
It's very small.
I don't want to put you on
very small. Like, I think kindergarten through fifth grade or something like that.
That's my favorite age.
Oh, my goodness. They're lovely. We did a show with them a couple of years ago, and they're really terrific. Anyway, they are at dragonflyschool.com and 995-9869.
Fabulous.
I'm sure about the exact. Maybe it goes up to sixth grade.
No. I wasn't trying to put you on the spot. I had just never heard of it before. But we have some secrets here in Santa Fe.
They go outside and do science projects, and they have wonderful artists.
It sounds like the Fayette School, which is one of those schools, the center of which is a giant elm.
Oh.
So it tells you a lot about how remarkable and innovative education. It's here in Santa Fe, yeah. It's downtown. So Monday is Martin Luther King Day.
It is true.
And I want to raise the issue at this moment in time for people to begin to think about the basic tenets of Martin Luther King and his philosophy. It was about passive resistance. It was about peace. It was about respect for one another. It was about building a better republic. And in light of all of the to-do that's going on around gun laws and the dissent there and the ways in which we're trying to ignore the collective reality of climate change, I think we need to take a deep breath on Monday, and everybody's got to stop and think about what it will take for us to make the nation and the world a better, safer place for everyone.
It is very true, and some years I play four days worth of Martin Luther King speeches. I think next week there's so much going on, I'm only going to do it on Monday, but I'll play one or two of the speeches on Monday of next week, and in accordance with what you're saying, I mean, it was also about poverty and economic justice.
Inequities of all sorts. Economic inequities, racial inequities, war. We need to really take a moment to just stop and think about how we treat each other and how we treat the world that we live in.
And
about
our animals.
Greed and power and the need to learn to be kinder. All the way around.
Now, the 8th annual Santa Fe Farmers Market Wednesday night movie series is starting up again.
And great movies.
And on Wednesday at 7 o'clock at the Farmers Market Pavilion, there's going to be a film called Climate Refugees. And it's basically about how groups of people are forced to leave their homes because of climate change and environmental disasters caused by climate change. For more information, farmersmarketinstitute.org. I wrote to those guys to see if they would like to be on the air, but I haven't heard back yet. I'm hoping to cover that film next week.
Well, the ED of the Farmers Market Institute is leaving, and I think they're in a little bit.
No, I wrote to the director.
Fabulous. Well, you know, it's so interesting, the power of films to open new ideas to us. The Farmers Market Institute presented a film called Bag It, about the disasters of plastic bags.
Yeah,
and
that was a good movie.
It was a great movie, and now the city of Santa Fe has forwarded some ideas that they're trying to make have some traction about getting rid of all of those one-use plastic bags and figuring out ways for us to be a little bit more environmentally responsible with our shopping, since we're a tourist destination.
Yeah, what I do is I get like cloth bags and I put them in the back seat of my car.
Yep.
And then I forget them when I go inside.
Well,
but
so
then
I
run back out and get them.
Well, what I end up doing is rolling my cart out and putting it into the bag in the car when I do that.
Yeah, there's that too.
Thursday, there is a group of events that are happening that I wanted to talk about. The Legends of Santa Fe, which is a small gallery on Lincoln Avenue downtown, is going to be presenting work by Taos Pueblo fashion designer Patricia Michaels. And Legends is a really interesting space that focuses...
She's amazing, by the way.
She is brilliant, absolutely. We worked with Patricia Michaels many years ago when we did a year of programming called Art, Fashion, and Identity. And we did this amazing fashion show at the Art Institute. So I love Patricia Michaels. So that will be a really interesting opening at 6:30 on Thursday. Another thing going on is Louis Lorty, who is the French-Canadian pianist who's going to be performing Liszt transcriptions of Wagner's and Mozart's operas. It's at 7:30. There's going to be a Q&A that's going to follow. It's at the St. Francis Auditorium. It should be a beautiful night, a very serious and very interesting music. We already talked about Ray Marie Taylor.
And there's a dance and drum party with Soriba Fofana and friends tomorrow, January 19th, from 7:30 to 9 at the Dragon Rising Studio Pacheco Park Complex, Building C101. Boy, that's at 1512 Pacheco Street. If you just go to 1512 Pacheco Street and you listen, I bet you'll hear it.
Probably. You don't even have to get to the exact address to hear it,
think. TheDragonRising.com.
Another interesting book talk is going to be on Thursday night, 6:30 to 7:30. Archaeologist William Saturno is going to be talking about the myth of kings and the math of kings, art, science, and the ancient Maya. And that's a talk that's presented by the School for Advanced Research. And it's going to be presented 6:30 at the New Mexico History Museum Auditorium.
And I'm going to have him on the air.
Oh, Bill yeah. That should be really, really interesting.
And there is some legislative stuff going on, and when people send me announcements, I read them. So this is, there is a GMO labeling bill that is being proposed, that is being introduced in the New Mexico legislature. And today at noon, at the inside of the rotunda at the Roundhouse, New Mexico legislature, there is an event where people from Food and Water Watch New Mexico residents who are interested in this will hold a rally in support of Senate Bill 18.
Yeah. Another thing that's going on, just to remind people, is the New Mexico School for the Arts winter performances, and they take place at the James A. Little Theater, 7 p.m. tonight and tomorrow, and at 2 p.m. on Sunday. So if you want to go over and see what the New Mexico School for the Arts is doing, you can check that out.
Excellent.
Another interesting thing that's going on, you know, there's kind of this wonderful, quirky theater that goes on in Santa Fe, and there's a performance at the Santa Fe Playhouse on Friday night and Saturday and Sunday at 7:30 tonight and tomorrow and at 2 p.m. on Sunday at my favorite theater, the Santa Fe Playhouse, which is this marvelous little intimate theater.
Very nice.
And it's the presentation of Just a Gigolo.
Oh, right. Yeah. I did a show about that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I heard you guys talking. It was a really interesting
show. Just a Gigolo. It's about
Just
a character in the life of
Lady Chatterley's lover.
Yes. Yeah, the guy who was the inspiration for Lady Chatterley's lover. And it was basically a guy who had an affair. It's a one-man play in the voice of the man who had an affair with D.H. Lawrence's wife.
Yes. Yes, and while D.H. Lawrence was out having affairs with lots of other people.
Well, D.H. Lawrence was very sick and could barely move also. One more legislative thing. Today at 10 o'clock, District 1199 of the National Union of Hospital and Healthcare Employees will hold a press conference at the Roundhouse to speak of threats by Christa St. Vincent administration officials and lawyers representing the corporate chain of hospitals to eliminate employee rights, because the Christus nurses have joined with nurses and healthcare professionals across the state in calling for a safe staffing ratios basically they're supporting a bill to have safe nursing levels in hospitals across New Mexico, and apparently they are getting some flack. I'm just reading what they send me. I'm sure there's another side to this issue.
But. Well, there are always lots of sides to the issues, but what happens is when we move from nonprofit hospitals to for-profit hospitals, suddenly the bottom line begins to have a lot of teeth.
They're still a nonprofit hospital, and nonprofit hospitals act as corporate chains across the United States and still have a lot of the same practices as for-profit hospitals. And, I mean, there have been documentaries about nonprofit hospitals where the CEOs are making huge salaries.
Exactly.
And these are nonprofits, and the employees can't even...
They're not making ends meet.
They're
absolutely
not making ends meet, and they don't have sufficient health care coverage. I don't know that that's happening here, but that there is
that
a
is,
problem across the United
yes,
States.
Yes, and that is part of the crisis of health care in the U.S., that people need to make. Let us go back to the Martin Luther King day.
Yep.
Greed and power has to be replaced with consideration and respect and a sense of creating a better community.
And on that note, registration for adult swimming classes at the Salvador Perez Pool starts on Tuesday.
Yay!
So you can learn to swim if you are an adult and have never swum or are intermediate. They're very inexpensive. And for more information, 955-2607.
This city's community services in terms of gyms and swimming pools is so rich and so wonderful. And if you've never been over to the Perez Center or the Chavez Center, or Fort Marcy, you need to take advantage, especially during the winter when it gets cold and it's hard to be outside sometimes. Go and take advantage and support all of the community centers that Santa Fe has provided for you.
It's so true.
It is so true.
What else?
Well, I kind of got through all of mine.
Well, good. And, of course, there are dance events and art events. Check your Pasatiempo and check your reporter for arts listings, because there are lots of arts openings every Friday night.
There are lots of arts openings all through the week as well. They're no longer just on Friday nights, which is very smart.
Yeah, that's true.
Of the galleries.
It's
Legends Exhibition. Yes, it is fun to do the walk, and it's fun to be hanging out, but... It's also kind to both the artists and the community of audiences that to make things available not always on the same night. Well, let me just mention the Santa Fe Art Institute has a wonderful exhibition called Shifting Baselines, two artists interpreting the importance and the function of water.
Yes.
Hugh Pocock, who talks about the cycle of water and evaporation. That was crazy. Evaporation and precipitation and the fact that all the water we have on the earth is the same water the dinosaurs were walking around in. It's kind of sobering, which means, you know, there's durability and longevity there, and we got to take care of it.
Aegean Reverie is an exhibit curated of work of Bob Ellis, and that's at Montezuma Arts today from 5 to 7. There's salsa dancing at the Lodge every Friday night at 9 o'clock. There's lessons. There's so much more. And Diane Karp is the executive director of the Santa Fe Art Institute. She's with us just about every other Friday. Speaking of the arts, Rob DeWalt will be back next week.
Yay, Rob!
Thank you for being with us.
It's such a pleasure. Okay, New Mexicans, Santa Feans, go out and participate in the arts.
Especially it's warmer now. I mean, you can't call it
warm. Well, it's all relative.
I know, but it's better than it was the last few days.
And for those of you who have been down with the flu, as I have for about 2.5 weeks, I need to tell you that art and culture is the best antidote.
No, your chicken soup is the best antidote.
Yeah, well, I can't deliver that to everybody.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services. We are at facebook.com/radiocafe, and my email is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Please write to me anytime. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, jazz. Thanks to Marilyn LeBlanc for engineering today and to all the terrific staff at KSFR for making this your wonderful community station. Hasta la vista, baby.
Peace.
Bye.